I grew up in New York, so this light flashing on and on, off and on, reminds me of just being in those city lights, and it's not going to be distracting at all. It's going to be perfectly normal. Everything's normal. I spoke with Father Troy before he asked me to come and cover his masses, and I asked his permission to give each one of you a special assignment that you can take with me after this mass. We're going to process around the whole city of Grand Rapids, starting here. Then we're going to go down Burton Street. Then we're going to go all the way up Beltline, right along the shoulder. It's going to be a little muddy and grassy, but that's okay. Then we're going to turn on Michigan Street, going west. And then we're going to go all the way over to Division, then come back south on Division, then come across back, doing a complete circuit, back to Burton right here at IHM. And then we'll have another mass. No, that's not what I'm asking you to do. It's actually something I did before I started seminary, but I started down at 44th Street, went over to Beltline, up Beltline, across Michigan Street, down Division, and then back across 44th Street. I started Saturday morning about 6 a.m., and I arrived at St. Mary Magdalene's Parish at 4:30 p.m., right before their evening mass was starting. And on that time, I was praying rosaries for all the people of Grand Rapids, for the Catholic families that, God willing, I'd one day minister to as a priest, for all the people that have no connection with any faith and that have felt so far from God. And I also kept returning to Divine Mercy. And today we're going to return to Divine Mercy because it's Divine Mercy Sunday. Shortly before I became Catholic, which was 10 years ago this Easter, and 10 months ago, as I said, I became a priest, I was shocked when I first discovered the Divine Mercy image. That word shock. Divine Mercy image, the message, the devotion, and the mission was something that shocked me. I quickly discovered after I became Catholic that Easter 10 years ago that I was not only being given the gift of the gift of confirmation and confession, the sacraments of confirmation and confession, and then the actual very body and blood of Christ in the Eucharist, but then I was given this beautiful gift, this beautiful devotion. I was invited to go to a Divine Mercy mass out in Muskegon and really had a very profound encounter early in my Catholic life with Divine Mercy. And it just keeps coming back. I wanted to shock you with that opening story because I think we easily fall into, I would say, kind of biblical complacency. We get used to things we hear every time at Mass. Every season comes around and we're like, oh yeah, Jesus shows up with the disciples in the upper room and he says, peace with you, three times. And he shows Thomas his hands in his side and asks him to put his hands in. Do you realize how many unknowns there were there? You think about like what the disciples' minds must have been racing when Jesus shows up in their midst. After they heard, they weren't there when he was crucified, but they heard he was ignominiously and shamefully crucified in one of the most horrific deaths on earth at the time. And they let it happen. And in his hour and greatest need, they all fled his side, except for John and his mom Mary and many other disciples, including the other Marys at the foot of the cross. I almost like to think of this scene of our gospel today, you know, like one of those cliffhanger shows that we have on TV that, like, Jesus shows up in the midst of them, and then it cuts to black, and you don't know what's going to happen, what Jesus is going to say or do. I mean, that would really shake us up, right, to show us that we don't know what's God going to do. The disciples in the back of their mind, they were, you know, they have the whole history of Israel and all their unfaithfulness and they're going turning away from God and God basically coming in and truly punishing them and giving them consequences for their infidelity. So think about, it's not normal what Jesus is doing and they don't know what to expect. I once saw a very sacrilegious hypothetical on of all places, with no surprise here, but Saturday Night Live. And they portrayed what it would have been like had Jesus returned, not with peace be with you, but with vengeance. First thing he does in this Saturday Night Live skit is he shows up at Pontius Pilate's residence with a company flanked by two holy angels, and he basically goes on to zap and incinerate the entire household of Pontius Pilate. And so he basically said, you know, see, I am the Son of God, and you missed me. This is truth. Then he goes into the upper room, and he confronts his disciples, and he berates them. He harshly speaks to them and condemns them for their unbelief and their weakness and their frailty. And I never wanted to watch this again. I actually never did watch it again, but I was thinking all this time, like, thank goodness is not who Jesus really is. Thank goodness that God is not the way we expect him to be, but he is full of mercy. So let's race ahead. 5 years ago, 2016, I decided to go with a group of young adults and youth to World Youth Day in Krakow, Poland. This is while I'm now at seminary as a Catholic seminarian. And I go to the very heart of the Divine Mercy devotion. I go into the convent where the original Divine Mercy image was held and where St. Faustina first heard the messages of Jesus to her in her times of private prayer, which she recorded in her diary. I remember distinctly standing out in the line waiting to go into that church, and there were two of the religious sisters on like a speaker megaphone and just reading all these words of Jesus from the Divine Mercy Diary. And they would say things like, now is the time of mercy. It is good that you're here. Come, receive the mercy of Jesus. Today is the day of mercy. His mercy endures forever. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. This again and again refrain. And then I turn and I look over, and etched on the wall in over 100 languages is those words, Jesus, I trust in you, in every language you could probably even think of and even not even be able to pronounce. And it overwhelmed me. This was the second time I really encountered divine mercy. And I just thought about, man, 70 maybe something years since this devotion first came about. This little nun in Poland hears these voices from Jesus. Jesus asked her to paint an image or have an image painted. And here we are 70 years later. In every tongue across the world, the words, Jesus, I trust in you, are emblazoned below an image of Jesus' mercy. No coincidence. So then I returned to seminary, my second year of theology, after that beautiful experience in Poland, and I could go on for hours talking about that trip, and I will not, because we have that procession to get to. So I came back, and I was on fire for mercy. You could call me obsessed with mercy. I decided to buy 2,000 Divine Mercy prayer cards from my fellow seminary brothers, and I pleaded and urged them. I put posters up all over campus asking them to take those images back in the handfuls, give them out at restaurants with very generous tips, particularly those that do not treat you well, because that's what mercy is about, not getting what you deserve. Going on street corners, handing it out to family members, handing it out at your parishes. I gave out hundreds of 8x10 images of Divine Mercy, asked all the seminarians to put them in their rooms. They might encounter that mercy. So then I enter my spring semester of Second Theology, and mercy is on my heart still. And I begin my internship out in St. Mary's in Spring Lake. It's actually that way, sorry. St. Mary's in Spring Lake. And we're entering the Easter season. I buy another 1,000 prayer cards for the parishioners of St. Mary's in Spring Lake. I buy about 500 8x10 images of Divine Mercy for every household. And I encourage people to more deeply enter into the mystery and the beauty of this devotion, this mission of mercy. And then I went further, and I then scheduled and organized a documentary showing at our parish for the original image of Divine Mercy to let people, not only in our parish, see it, but anybody who want to come. I went out to all the businesses in the surrounding Spring Lake community and asked to put posters up in their businesses asking people to come and attend this Divine Mercy documentary. I then went crazier and decided to go into all the Protestant churches with Divine Mercy images in hand and posters and asking, saying, If you've not encountered Jesus' mercy in this way, through this image, I encourage you to look into it and check it out. I had some very interesting conversations. I had some people give me very odd looks, probably odder than even Jesus was given when he showed up in that upper room. Why are you here? What are you doing here? Very weird looks. And so I'm obsessed with mercy, the divine mercy. And you might wonder why. Is it because I went on that trip to Poland? Is it because I was invited to become Catholic? Is it because I went to that Divine Mercy Sunday my first year as a Catholic? Probably yes in many of those ways. But I'll tell you the real reason why. It's because I received mercy. It's his mercy that drew me back to faith with him, even before I was Catholic. It's that mercy that when I talk about my conversion story to become Catholic, I usually only mention the highlights, the things that were great that happened, that led me into the faith, the invitations to go to Mass at 27 years old, first time ever, the invitation to go back to Mass again the following week. And all those things are true, but it was the mercy of Christ that I saw and I witnessed in the Eucharist. I remember who I was before I encountered Jesus' mercy in confession. I remember I was very angry, argumentative, self-centered, lustful, not really concerned much about the things of God, though I was regularly going to church. I had hit a real dry spell in my Christian life, really was discouraged and wondered if God could address and rescue me and take me out of my sins, the sins that I would continually fall back into. And then mercy found me. The message of divine mercy, a shortcut to it, is in that image, as I mentioned, that divine mercy image. Do you notice in the image, I have our bulletin today. I would recommend getting a larger image of this at some point. Jesus is stepping toward us in that image. He's always stepping toward you in mercy. Even no matter where you are right now, I know you're here, okay? I know you're here. But no matter where you are with your faith and with your life with God, Jesus' posture and direction is toward you, and he brings mercy. That was the message of St. Faustina. That's meant to be our message as Catholic Christians. The bug of mercy has continued to infect me more than the coronavirus. I've now ordered another 1,000 prayer cards for St. Paul the Apostle down the street, another few hundred Divine Mercy 8x10s. Who here has the Divine Mercy image somewhere prominent in their home? Okay, not enough. Not enough by far. Wow, we got a lot of work to do. All right, good. We got good things to do. I plead with you. Get an image of divine mercy. It's transformative. Jesus promises graces come in superabundance through beholding his gaze of mercy in that image. The simple prayer, Jesus, I trust in you, has converted many hearts. I beg you, if you don't have an image and you don't want to buy an image, I will personally bring over an image to each one of your homes. I will bless that image. I'll douse it with holy water. I will encourage you to go deep into his mercy. If we don't get mercy, if we don't get his mercy, we don't get anything about the Catholic faith. You got to start there. You have to start with his mercy. I was deeply moved when I was at seminary, when I returned to seminary after my internship, and one of my fellow seminary friends mentioned to me that while he was in seminary to become a priest, his own father had wandered away from the faith. He never practiced, would never show up at the church anymore. And this was going on for decades. And he just happened to show up one day at a Divine Mercy Sunday Mass. And he's sitting probably like right around there in that church he was in. Like, so you guys are in a good spot right now, just by the way. He was over there. And the priest, I give him very much credit, decided to place the Divine Mercy image by the ambo, full life-size image right here. And toward the end of Mass, after Holy Communion, you see this man walking, not back to his own seat. He walks across the church. He comes up here. He kneels down. His son went over there after Mass and asked him, "What's going on, Dad?" And his father said, "I couldn't take my eyes off him. I couldn't get away from those rays of blood and water coming out of his heart. I'm going to confession after Mass, and I'm returning to the faith." That's the power of this devotion, this divine mercy. I hope you didn't come expecting that, but this is what this is all about. And that's why I beg you to take divine mercy more deeply into your lives and into your homes. I want to close this homily while the lights are still on with a few messages of Jesus to St. Faustina. These are just little excerpts from her diary. Jesus' promises about this devotion, promises about the image. "Souls who spread the honor of my mercy, I shield through their entire life as a tender mother her infant, and at the hour of death, I will not be a judge for them, but the merciful Savior. At that last hour, a soul has nothing with which to defend itself except my mercy. Happy is the soul that during its lifetime immersed itself in the fountain of mercy, because justice will have no hold on it. Do not tire of proclaiming my mercy. In this way you will refresh this heart of mine, which burns with a flame of pity for all sinners." "No soul that has approached me has ever gone away unconsoled. All misery gets buried in the depths of my mercy, and every saving and sanctifying grace flows from this fountain." Do you know what the word mercy means? Misericordia. To give the heart of love to the miserable. "I desire that priests proclaim this great mercy of mine towards souls of sinners. Let the sinner not be afraid to approach me. Every time you go to confession, immerse yourself entirely in my mercy with great trust, so that I may pour the bounty of my grace upon your soul. When you approach the confessional, know this, that I myself am waiting there for you. I am only hidden by the priest, but I myself act in your soul. Here the misery of the soul meets the God of mercy." Regarding the chaplet of divine mercy, "Say unceasingly the chaplet that I have taught you. Whoever will recite it will receive great mercy at the hour of death." And concerning the image of divine mercy, "I promise that the soul that will venerate this image will not perish. I also promise victory over its enemies already here on earth, especially at the hour of death. I myself will defend your soul as my own glory. I am offering people a vessel with which they are to keep coming for graces to the fountain of mercy. That vessel is this image with the signature, 'Jesus, I trust in you.'" There is an image of divine mercy in that back corner, and I encourage you after this Mass, before that procession that we're going on, spend a little time gazing at that image. Jesus is looking right back at you. And he's not looking with eyes straight. He's not staring into your eyes. He's looking into your heart. Do you notice how his eyes are usually cast down? He doesn't want to scare you away. He doesn't want to take any chance that you might be scared of him. He wants you to enter into that mercy, and he's looking into your heart. He's searching for just that one little motion that says, "Lord Jesus, I trust in you. Have mercy on me." Finally, and this is repeated multiple times in the diary, "Mankind will not have peace until it turns with trust to my mercy." We are in need of peace today. There are a lot of people today in misery. St. Faustina was given a mission of mercy. I really feel as a priest, I've been given a mission of mercy. And each one of you, I encourage to take that mission of mercy. Remember how I mentioned I would come to your home and bless that image in your home? I encourage you to go a step further. I encourage you to take a giant image, a 50-inch by 70-inch image, and put it right on your front door or right in your yard. So when people go down into your neighborhood and they turn their head at a glance, they're gazing at Jesus. They're looking at your door and they're saying, man, the people that live there must love God and they must love his mercy. Or the people that live there, when they go in and out of their home, they're always going to encounter Jesus' mercy. I'd like to get to know those people because it looks like that's what their life's all about. Let's join this mission together.